are all the children. You can go to Sunday school. I'd love to have you. Maybe next time, all right? And the youth as well, is it, Mark? Yeah, okay. I just give some time for the younger ones to go to their respective classes. Good morning to all of you. Once again, Blessed Father's Day to all the fathers here. I'm sure that you have many plans laid out for your fathers, grandfathers, fathers, father-in-laws. And all fathers are heroes in their own rights. I'm sure it's not a coincidence that Man of Steel was released this week. Yeah. It talks about the original father and the earthly father of Superman. But anyway, I want all the fathers to know that we appreciate you and you are appreciated. And if your children give you a necktie and your wife a necklace, please don't compare. It's the thought that counts. Just imagine that it is of the same value. Anyway, it's a global phenomenon that people spend more during Mother's Day, but it's fine. Well, most of us has one father, most of us. And, do you know, I always wonder, if let's say we have one father, where did we get the idea that our father is good or bad? Because since we have only one father, and we recognize that this is our father, our earthly father, our biological father, our the father that took care of us, where did we get the idea that this is a good father, this is a bad father? Perhaps, maybe because of comparison, or maybe perhaps there's something deep in us that we wanted something more, we have an idea of fatherhood. But friends, and people of God, this year is a very definitive year. It's a year that perhaps you can say that the trend of fatherhood has changed. The trajectory of fatherhood on earth, or the landscape of fatherhood here in Malaysia as well as around the globe, is changing in two areas at least. In terms of expectation as well as in terms of composition, it's changing. Well, what do I mean by that? Expectation and composition. I remember that maybe about 30, 40 years ago, it is totally all right for father to work long hours, come back, rest and sleep, and have very little interaction with children. It's totally fine. Because the main expectation of a father is the breadwinner, is the provider of the home. His role is to bring back the resources and the food for the family, and everybody understands that that is the role of the father. And if children ever complains about the father not interacting too much with the children, the mother will say that your father is a good father because he's bringing back the resources. But these days, fatherhood has changed. If you have the bulletin, please read the account and the testimony of Alan Oh. He has described very well what fatherhood is like these days. Those who are in their 30s or first-time fathers in this generation, you most probably can relate to that. I definitely can relate to that. I became a father about 6 years ago when Sophia was born. And when Sophia was born, both my wife and I, Lillian, we adamantly decided that we want to breastfeed our children. But that is inconsistent with the idea of my mother and my mother-in-law and all the aunties along my street. So the first 2 days or 3 days, There was no milk. And Sophia was crying, even on the night, on the very first night. I believe she suckled a few drops of colostrum, and technically that is sufficient, but she was crying all the time. So my mom was saying, Sophia is starving, please feed her with the formula. I said, Mom, we are adamant that we want to breastfeed our child. Then my mother-in-law said, I think you should have another strategy, you know, backup strategy. What if there's no milk? And then all the aunties along the street will start calling us and say, oh no, your child is crying. So me as a dad, what I did was, I carried Sophia and I sang to her. For the first three nights, especially when the milk has not arrived, I sang to her many, many songs. And she calmed down and she slept. And I believe that my dad never did that when I was young. So fatherhood has changed. And I want to introduce you to this idea that there is multi-dimensional in terms of fatherhood. Fatherhood has multiple dimensions. Last time, the expectation perhaps is biological, physical, and physical as in you provide the food and shelter, and maybe educational, a little bit of some of these, and of course financial. But these days, it's all of it. So fatherhood has changed in terms of expectation. And I believe it's a good change. Because many, many research has shown that an attachment that is developed in the younger age of a child with a father reduces the risk of many things. So it's a good thing. So in terms of expectation, things have changed. And in terms of composition, things have also changed. Now we have children that has perhaps two fathers, two mothers, and one mother take the role as a father. And we have a matriarch who is the father of the community, take the behavior or take the role as a father in the community, especially the black community in the States. There's always matriarch in every single community. And all this macho, big football players and basketball players, when they meet all this matriarch, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. They are totally respectful to this matriarch. And another landscape that is actually changing this year as a very definitive year, as far as United States and UK is concerned, this year will most probably be the year where children that is born out of wedlock will be more than the children that is born in marriage this year. This is the graph that shows the growth of out of wedlock childbearing in the United States, 1929 to 2010. In 2010, it's 40.8. Last year was 48%. And most probably, if you extrapolate, this year it will cross the 50th percent. What does it mean? It means that more children are born out of wedlock than children that are born in marriage. It's a game changer. It changes a lot of things. And why do I mention this? It's because the trend, this trend in the United States has political, social, economical, and spiritual implications, not just in the United States as well as to us. So fatherhood has changed. Things are different now. I remember about 2 years ago, I attended an Easter party of a church member in Texas. So I was invited. I had lunch, and there were a few families. There were some family friends. I particularly remember a family that has five children. Wonderful children. The oldest was about 15, 16 years old. The younger, two younger girls, they are twins. maybe about 6 years old. So all together, five of them. And they are a family, a wonderful family. And normally during Easter, they will bury all these eggs in their farm or in the house. And the younger ones will pick these eggs. They are all candies. So everybody can pick, all the younger ones can pick candies. But then the older ones are in plastic shells of designated colors. And I was wondering why. Because the candies are not attractive enough for teenagers. So they put cash in there. And it's designated colors because you cannot pick the color of your other sibling. So if you are designated orange, you can only pick orange eggs. So that means you cannot take your brother's blue color egg. So they keep it interesting. A family tradition that you can pick eggs and it's a fun time. And what I find about this family is very unique. And when we call them a blended family, why is it blended? The first child is of one father. Then the next two children is of another father. And then the last two, the twins, the youngest twins, is of the current husband of the lady. But then these three sets of children all came from the same mother. And I was wondering, when the eldest child think about fatherhood, or think about father, what actually goes through this person's mind? And I got to know a bit more about this family. Apparently, when the eldest child, after a few years, after the first child was born, the parents didn't make it. They went separate ways, and the mother was depressed. She was institutionalized because she had compulsive drinking. And during that period of time, that child was given to foster care. And then after the mother came out, she took back the child and she married another man and things doesn't work out. And then this is her third husband. Things are fine right now. So I was wondering, for this child, she has, or this person has a biological father, the first father, or the biological father. This person has a foster father, and the ex-husband of her mother, which was a father to her for a time, and now her current, now the current husband of her mother, which she also calls father. So in her perspective, she had at least four fathers. Well, why do I want to bring this up? Because when we teach God is our Heavenly Father, what do you think goes through in this person's mind? Most of us has one father, but to this person, she may have four. So it is important for us to look at this multidimensional, which I'll come back afterwards. So there's lots of social, emotional, political, and spiritual implications that this trend or this trajectory, because the rest of the developing world is also have this similar trend. Now, what is actually the solution, and what is this text all about today? The difficulty of this text is actually not the understanding of it, but it is the application of it. So let us read the text that we will ponder deeper upon today. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. So I'll stop there. Although in this verse it talks about God setting the prisoners free in singing, and the evildoers or the unrighteous has to work in a sun-scorched land. That two ideas is similar, but today, due to time, we will not explore in that. We just look at 6a, until God sets the lonely in families. So a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Firstly, just a general trend or a general understanding of Psalms. Basically, Psalm 68 is a psalm of praise. The structure talks about the greatness of God, the goodness, the wonderful work of God, the presence of God with His people, processional praise, enlargement of the God's community, the glory and grace of God. So this is the idea or the movement in Psalm 68. It is talking about how great God is and the response of praise of His people, of David, towards God. And as we know that Psalm is the songbook of the past, and it is also the songbook for us, a prayer book for us today, it is the response of people, it is the response of human, of David towards God. And this idea of God the Father, or this idea of God the Father of the fatherless, is not a new idea. I believe that it comes from this text, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 to 21. It talks about the law that God has given the people of Israel to love those, to defend the cause. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows, and love the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And then the application of it is, you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourself were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him and take your oath in His name. He is your praise, He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. I love the sermon that was preached by Dr. Peter last week, where he talks about the objective truth and the subjective feeling or subjective experience. The objective truth of, if you remember last week, talking about the objective truth is that we have peace with God, and then the subjective feeling or experience is experiencing the peace of God. And this is perhaps the objective truth of God, the law that was given. And Psalm 68 is the subjective experience. Therefore, David wrote that Psalms. So, Psalm 68, most probably, is a reflection, or it is an expression of this text, or this law that God has given to the people of Israel. So, out of his observation, out of David's observation, he saw that God is the God to the fatherless. So, it's not a foreign idea. He is responding to a law of God. So it's a very beautiful picture that the objective truth of God is experienced in within His subjects, within His people. Now, God the Father is also a New Testament idea, because 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul continued the idea and said that in verse 18, he says, I will be your father to you, and you will be my son and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. And this is God's covenant with David. It's taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. And as we all know that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. So it's not just an Old Testament idea, it is also a New Testament idea. That means it is a Christian idea that God is the Father. And God is the Father to the fatherless. It's also not just an Old Testament idea, it's also a New Testament idea. That means it is a Christian idea. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. So it's very definitive. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So to look after orphans, which is the fatherless, and the widows. So it's part of, we have a theological reason. It is not just a humanitarian reason. It is a commandment from God. It is an expression of love from God to us, and our expression of our love to God, to the community. But the greatest challenge is actually not understanding the first part, God the Father of the fatherless. I'm sure that right now, at this point in time, everybody would agree with that idea, that God is our Father, He takes care of us, and God is a Father to the fatherless. The greatest challenge of this text is God in His holy dwelling? verse 1. The first part of verse 5. Second part of verse 5. And verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. It's God in His holy dwelling. In this particular text, or in Psalm 68, verse 5, it is totally all right if David were to write, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God, full stop. Or he could write that the father, which is a definitive article, he didn't use a definitive article. He used a general article. He said, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Why would David want to write such thing? If it is just about God, it is totally alright to write as the father to the fatherless, the defender of widows is God, full stop. But he did not. Is God in his holy dwelling? Let's just try to guess, who is this holy dwelling, or what is this holy dwelling? It is the community of God. That's why we have this beautiful story about Boaz as a kinsman redeemer, redeeming Ruth and Naomi. It is the community of God. And in the New Testament idea, guess who is the dwelling of God? Is it the building, the church building? Is it the leadership? The Bible clearly tells us that you and I, we are the dwelling of God. That the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the temple of God. So the application of it is, who is the father to the fatherless? It is the community of God. The community of God is the father to the fatherless. And here it says that God set the lonely in families. Which family? Let's just think for a little while. The lonely people, God will take this lonely person and put it in a family. Whose family? Pastor Rama's family. Dr. Peter's family. Richard's family. Pastor Joshua's family. Whose family? Is your family and my family. It's this family. It's a community of God. That is actually the most difficult part, the greatest challenge of this text. We all agree that God is wonderful, God is great, He's loving, He's caring, He showers with unconditional love. All of us agrees with that. And we experience all that. And God is the father to the fathers. He takes care of the orphans and the widows. Yes. Supernaturally, sometimes. But most of the time, it's through the community of God. So what does it mean? What are the implications of all this? Basically, there's two implications. Earthly fathers are actually a reflection of the Heavenly Father. And Christian families members, Christians are family members to the lonely. Whether we like it or not, as a father, when we father our children, they have a certain perspective of who father is. And we introduce God into their life, and we teach them that God is our Heavenly Father, the perception of the earthly father is present. It may be good, it may be bad, it may be in between, but whatever it is, it has implication. It has social, emotional, and psychological implications. Especially for the first person that I talk about, the blended family, the first child that went through that went through quite a bit and had four fathers. When you ask the person to pray, Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, this person has struggled. Because if this person think about the biological father left the child. Many years ago, I have a child, which is about 10 to 12 years old at that time. She was invited to church to come for our VBS. She was a friend of a church member. They were classmates. So during VBS, we want to invite all the different children into our church. So we did. So we invited her. She came to VBS. She enjoyed our program. She stayed back, and later on, she accepted Christ. She comes from a lower socio-economical family. Her mother remarried, so she is in a blended family. Her stepfather almost never interacted with her. But the stepfather provided a roof above her head, a private room for her. Her stepfather also paid for her education. As far as society is concerned, he is a good stepfather. At the very least, he didn't have bad interaction with her. And coming from a blended family and a lower socio-economical background, her language is different, her behavior is different. And therefore, when she first came into the church, she was not very accepted. And I have several church families who came to me and complained that, why do you let this girl enter our church and come into our youth group? She is a bad influence to our children. Guess who need more lecturing? The girl who came, or the Christian parents, the few Christian parents? Well, you make the decision. Aren't we supposed to be the family to the lonely? She never experienced a father because her biological father left her and her current stepfather never interacted with her socially, emotionally, or have a conversation with her. Their relationship more or less not even exchange. Whatever she needs, she will ask the mother, and the mother will ask the father, and if it agrees, she will get the cash. She never interacted with the father. And as a young girl that's growing up, 12, 13, 14 years old, she longs to have this male figure in her life. And where would she find this male figure? Naturally will be fathers in the church. That means you and I. In my previous church, I failed terribly. There are many areas that I failed. I was not able to so-called father a lot of people because of my limited experience. I was young. There are many things I didn't know. I've done many mistakes. And I want you to look at things in this multi-dimension, because when you talk about father, it's not just about adopting. Yes, adoption is one form of fatherhood. You can actually father a person in many different aspects. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, educationally. You can father a person in many aspects. And one of the joy that I experienced, I actually father a couple, a young couple. Although we are older brother and sisters. But I was more of a spiritual father to them. A young Iranian couple. They came into the country. They were not accepted in many community. They heard about God. I discipled them. And after 1-2 years of discipleship, they went to Melbourne. Right now, this couple, this Iranian couple, they are ordained ministers. It gives me great joy to be their spiritual father. And maybe you are thinking that, all these things, it has nothing to do with us. The U.S. trend, so what if there are more children being born out of wedlock? And so it doesn't concern us. And guess what? When we want to find out about the social concern of this city, of Subang Jaya, guess what is the number one concern? Single mothers. That's the number one concern. Do you know that? In Subang Jaya, the greatest social concern is single mothers. What does it mean? That means the father is not around. So that means they have children. And who would be their father? I think Henry can be a good father. Who? Whose family is willing to take in and father them in different ways? Emotionally, psychologically, socially, spiritually. You know, my biggest... And yesterday we had a meeting with the social concern ministry, and I was entrusted to do development, as in to find new areas to serve in this community, and knowing that the single mother will be one area that we will go into, and I have no budget. But that's fine. Someone was very, very good to me and said that, you come up with a proposal, I will find you the money. Wow, great. But that was not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is us. I'm sure I can get the money. My biggest concern is us. Are we ready to be the father to the fatherless when we extend our help to the single mothers in this community? They have children. That's why you call them single mothers. And we will take them in, maybe put them in Boys Brigade, and Sarah and Vincent will be the father and the mother automatically by default, because Vincent is the captain. Okay. And of course, all the officers, but does it stop there? No. Are you ready, fathers? So being a good father at home to our children is one hill. But when you're on top of this hill, God is telling us that, fathers, I have many lonely children out there, fathers, and they need you. So fathers of First Baptist Church, are you ready? Maybe you're saying, oh, this is so overwhelming, how can I do it? I can tell you, we cannot do it. Because it requires the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that gives us this unconditional love. And with these spiritual resources, it will become the wellspring of life that will flow out, that our love will not only pour out to our own biological children, but our spiritual children. Mind you, this is not salvation, all right? We are not talking about salvation. Yeah. Social concern is not salvation. Salvation, I think we have talked about it very clearly. Salvation is from God. We accept Him, Jesus. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And therefore, out of this grace that we experience, we express our love to Him by being the father to the fatherless, by being the family members to those who have no families. And I believe that this is a challenge that God has given us as First Baptist Church, because this city is not so different in reflection to the United States. It is a growing trend. May we be ready when these children comes. May I invite you to stand with me? Let us pray. Let us commit ourselves to God. God, first and foremost, we want to thank you for fathers. We acknowledge that they try their very best. And Lord, you love them and we experience your love through them. God, I ask and I pray that in our hearts, that whatever that's lacking in our earthly father, that you will fill it. You will fill us with whatever that's lacking. And as Christian fathers, we have a bigger role from the text that we have read today. That you want us to change from glory to glory to glory. It means that we want to glorify you. We want you to shine in our lives. That we are not just good father to our children, but to the friends of our children that has no fathers. Because that's how they learn about you, the Heavenly Father. God, you know that we are limited, we are weak. We don't have the resources. So God, we ask you to fill us. It is only through your Holy Spirit that gives us these resources. God, we may not have the capacity to adopt a whole an entire responsibility of a child. But we can take one part of it. Maybe financially, teaching the child a trade, a skill, giving them tuition, teaching them math or physics or English, teaching the Bible, take them out for a meal. I'm sure we can do that. God, you have not opened this door to us because we are not ready. But when we are ready, there will be many of these children that will flood into this church. Because it is already the number one social concern of this city. And these children long for a father figure. May they find that in First Baptist Church. Equip us, God, that we will be ready vessel for you, to be used by you, and to be a light in this community, reflecting you, the Heavenly Father, that all these children will know that you are the Heavenly Father through us. May we be the father to the fatherless and the family to the lonely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.